Blog Talk Radio.
Question on the right.
What it means as a team, but what about individually for you?
Just got one more than Shaq.
Welcome to Everything Lakers. I am your host, your Laker girl. Thank you for tuning in tonight. We're going to have a great show, you guys. You can call in tonight and join in the conversation. The number is 347-205-9366. You can also join us in the chat room. You can log in at www.thejkingnetwork.com. Just log in. It takes about a few minutes to log in with your Facebook profile. If you don't have Facebook, you can register quickly and get in the chat room, and I can read your comments out of the chat room as well. So join us tonight, you guys. Everything Lakers is on live tonight. A lot of things are happening in Laker Nation tonight. This week, we are rounding off the media. Yesterday was Laker Media Day, which was exciting. We have a new team. We have a new look. We have new expectations. So a lot of things are going to be happening. Our preseason is going to be starting next month, which is October 1st. It's going to be Tuesday. So I believe our first game is October 6th. So, you guys, it's going to be a great season. Again, like I said, expectations are not to, you know, of course the Lakers want to get to the finals and win the big chip, but do we have our expectations at high? And we talked about that the last time we were here live. And so we're going to talk about media week. We're going to talk about the news that's going on with Lakers. There's a lot of news out there. We touched on the last time we were on live, we touched on who makes the last decision in the Laker organization with the family. And I think the contradiction is there because Jeannie has a book that has caused a lot of controversy. So we're going to talk about that as well tonight, you guys. So make sure you call in tonight and join us. It's going to be a great show. I'm going to bring in my co-host in a moment. His name is Steve Itz. He's from the Die Hard Sports Radio. He has a show also here on Blog Talk Radio. And then also we have our diehard Laker fan who joins us every Sunday, which I do appreciate very much, taking time out of his day from New Jersey, Larry Hines. So I'll bring you guys in a moment. Let me just do this real quick. Just want to touch on – oh, wait. Hold it on, you guys. Last time, you know, you guys, I was having some electronic issues. But this week I am back. I am back. Everything's new. New phone, new computer, everything is good. So let me bring in my co-host, Steve Itz. One moment, please. Let me open up your mic. And it is circling. What's up, Steve? How are you this evening?
What's up, Stephanie? How's it going?
I'm doing great. I'm doing wonderful. Great weekend. Having a wonderful weekend. And it's been an awesome weather here in Southern California. I'm just getting geared up for the new Lakers season that's happening. What's up, Larry? How are you this evening?
Hey, Stephanie. Hey, Steve. How you doing? How's everything?
What's up, Larry?
Glad to be back on the air again. All right. All right.
All right. Well, thank you guys for tuning in tonight and joining me this evening. Like I said, there's a lot of news out there. Preseason is going to be starting. The Lakers training camp has already started. They practiced, I believe, yesterday and as well as today. So the season is coming out. I'm really excited about this season, even though, like I said, my expectations is not to get to the finals and win that chip. But if we get there, hey, I would love it, even with the coach that we have. You know what I'm saying? Because I just feel like, you know, I have said it several times on this show, on Everything Lakers, that I don't have the confidence in Dan and Tony. So I didn't call him Dan Dummy, but I did just say it. But, you know, Dan and Tony, it looks like, you know, he's more excited. And I wish I would have uploaded the audio. He did an interview recently with Stephen A. Smith, and I wanted to upload that, but I didn't get a chance to do it this weekend. I've been really busy. But it would have been some great audio. If you haven't had a chance to check it out, you can go to YouTube, just type in interview with Dan Antoni and Stephen A. Smith, and you can hear that. Now, Steve, I know that you did a show recently Thursday, and I just noticed that you were posting it recently on Jeannie Buss. So I want to touch on that because we did talk about that on my last show, with Jeannie, you know, Jim Buss stating the fact that Jeannie has the last say-so in making decisions in the Laker organization. And let me just tell you guys this, Steve and Larry. I listened back to that last live show. There was a lot of background noise. So if you're not speaking, please put yourself on mute. It was some background noise going on. If you're doing something while I'm talking, I need you to put yourself on mute. And then when you're ready to talk, to take yourself off the mute, because I'm hearing it now. So if you're moving around, Blog Talk Radio picks up the smallest sounds when you're not speaking. When you are speaking, sometimes, you know, as a host, sometimes I can't even hear another person talking. But, you know, the word was, you know, Jeannie has a book that she has put out. And, you know, Jeannie Buss, she's the chief of the Los Angeles Lakers business operations. And then we all know she is fiance of Hall of Famer Phil Jackson. And she wrote in her Laker Girl memoir that she felt that hiring of Mike D'Antoni as head coach last year instead of Jackson was a betrayal. Now, this contradicts the fact that, you know, in the last situation when we had spoke, when I read an article about Jim stating the fact that Jeannie has that last say-so. Obviously, you know, Dr. Jerry Buss was still alive, and they're saying that he was the last decision-maker at that time, but he was very ill at the time. So I still, in the back of my mind, I still can't believe that, you know, they go to Jeannie, or I can't believe that Dr. Jerry Buss made that decision. So obviously, you know, Buss opinions are all about as biased as they come in this particular situation. She's 50. Well, as a 51-year-old engaged, I didn't know she was 51. Wow. Jeannie Buss is 51. She looks great. Wow. So she's 51. And so what she was saying, it's strange to think that the Lakers brass will ever dream of leading on a living legend, like, you know, leading Phil Jackson on, especially giving him, you know, with all the success he has with, you know, Kobe Bryant, Paul Gasol, and Middle World Peace. He's no longer with us. But in the past, you know, apparently, Jeannie felt betrayed by the team's decision to hire Mike D'Antoni and over Phil Jackson, who all Laker fans wanted as the coach for us. And, you know, after Mike Brown was dismissed, you know, it was just everyone expected to see Phil Jackson, especially Phil Jackson was up to being our coach. I mean, you would think they would have jumped at that, but it didn't happen. So it looks like, you know, this book, Laker Girl, that Jeannie has written is creating some controversy, especially after that interview of Jim Buss. So, Steve, you know, like I said, you spoke on it on your show. How did that go, and how did the conversation go over there on your show?
Well, I'll kind of give it to you from my point of view. I kind of forgot what the others said about it. Although one of my panelists, Jack, says, you know, there's always drama with the Lakers going on. That's just the way it goes with them, which is true. But from my point of view, you know, I looked at it as Jeannie Buss doing a lot more right for this organization than wrong. She is the closest thing to Jerry Buss, in my opinion. She's also, you know, usually makes the right decisions and makes the right calls as far as the organization would go from the business side. And I don't think there's a Laker fan out there that wouldn't agree with the notion that the buck should stop with her on everything about the Lakers, everything with basketball, with business, the entire thing. At the end of the day, the Lakers are a business. She's in charge of the business. So to me, she's the de facto commander of this particular team, more so than maybe Jim Buss is, even though they kind of split up the business and the basketball side, which I don't think works. I think the business is basketball, and it should stop with Jeannie Buss. So Jeannie has done a lot more right than wrong with this organization in my mind, and obviously we are well aware of some of the things that Jim has done wrong and some of the people that have left the Lakers allegedly because of internal dealings with Jim Buss. That being said, from Jeannie, looking at this from the standpoint of Jeannie, I'll preface this by saying Dr. Jerry Buss and Derek Taylor made a great point on his show on 5G Sports Talk. You know, I talked about Dr. Jerry Buss. If anything was particularly bad with the Lakers or reached a point of crisis, you would not see Dr. Jerry Buss write a book or go to a reporter or go on a radio show and kind of air that dirty laundry. And Derek made the point where he would never let it get that far. He would always nip it in the bud when it's a mole as opposed to turning it into a mound hill, if you will. Well, this new Laker management is kind of figuring things out as they go along. They have a very hard act to follow, and sometimes I feel like they're in over their heads. And how I relate that to what Jeannie did is it seemed like in her book, which is strictly for the benefit of her, that she was airing dirty laundry that I don't think Dr. Jerry Buss would ever do, and that I'm not sure Jeannie should have done. I understand that things will come out of the Lakers organization that might not – put the Lakers in the best light possible in the media. I just never think it should come from ownership. So I think this is the first thing that I've seen Jeannie do that might have been a little bit off, although I understand why she feels betrayed. She's loyal to Phil Jackson both professionally with the success that she has seen the Lakers have with Phil Jackson in the fold and obviously involved with him personally, being his fiance and about to marry Phil Jackson. So I understand why she feels betrayed, because the Lakers, to me, mishandled the Mike D'Antoni hiring by not giving Phil Jackson a chance to complete the window that they offered him to think about if he wanted to come back or not. So I get that. I just feel like it shouldn't have come out in her book as a co-owner of the Lakers and in charge of the business, because to me, it's not really what Laker management does or should do. It should come from a position other than Laker management, because if there's one thing about the Lakers organization that has always been the most stable, it's management at the top and how they do things and how they keep everything in-house. And that's my feeling about it.
Well, you know what? And that's true. They do keep everything in-house. When Dr. Jerry Buss was the decision maker, the owner, before he passed, again, you know, they did keep a lot of things under wraps. I mean, but then there was also a lot of drama that did come out, you know, with the Shaq and Kobe ordeal, you know, things like that with Kareem, Abdul-Jabbar, and Magic Johnson. Those things came out in the light. And then, you know, again, you know, like you mentioned, you know, Jeannie, she did. She felt betrayed, you know, because of the relationship she has with Phil Jackson. And that's probably why she's ultimately airing it out, because it hit her more so in her heart opposed to in her pocketbook. She doesn't need the money. We all know she's probably pretty stable financially. And she just felt in her book, she says she felt she got played, you know, referring to, you know, the decision ultimately made by her brother, Jim, which he said took her and Phil Jackson by surprise and had been an unsettling experience. So I guess she just felt like, okay, I just need to get this off my chest, because it's definitely not to sell books. You know, not at all. And what she did was she went in and updated this book. You know, it was already written. She just went in and updated it with that information. So I do get it. You know, women, as a woman myself, you know, we're very emotional creatures. And for her to put it out there to let people, you know, let Laker Nation know, you know, But I also felt betrayed. Not only did the Laker fans feel betrayed because you went to feel. It's the way they did it. And I understand exactly what you're saying, Steve, because that's what the Laker organization is about. You know, they keep everything on the top level, top-notch level, and keeping things under wrap. But there are things that out.
And you know what's funny? What's funny, Stephanie, I don't mean to cut you off. Derek said the same thing, talking about women are very expressive. They express their emotions, and I have no problem with that whatsoever. And, again, I get why Jeannie feels betrayed by all of this. Completely understand that. I just said, like I said, and to the point you just made to kind of reiterate my point, if it's going to come out from the Lakers, it should never come out from the top level. And that is my only criticism about it. And that's based on nature. Maybe this, you know, maybe it's a different personality. Maybe we just have to accept the fact that they are going to put things on. Lord knows I'm expressive on my Facebook page, you know, about how I'm feeling and what I'm thinking and so on and so forth. So I get that. I guess it's easier for us to do that because we're not as famous or as smart in the media as maybe Jeannie Buss is. So the rules are a little bit different, I suppose, and that's not really fair. I was just surprised that it came from the top like that because I really haven't done that before. And I've been a Laker fan for 30 years now. You think you've seen everything with this team, and then something happens, and Laker fans like me are like, what? So it was a little shocking, to be honest with you.
Well, and, you know, and because she, her brother, I think Jim Buss, he acts like a snake by using her to give Phil, you know, to give Phil to, you know, get excited about, again, being, you know, coaching. And, you know, we know that he said he wasn't going to come back to be, you know, in coaching. He wanted to be in the, you know, the top level office. He wanted to be part of the office and not on the court, not on the wood coaching. And it basically embarrassed her and Phil, you know, and, you know, so actually Jim started it when you think about it. He started it because he contacted Phil, asked him, he had Mitch Kupchak call and contact Phil, asked him if he would like to come back as the coach, you know what I'm saying, when he was even thinking about it. Now, but the reason why he was thinking about it is because Jeannie probably knew they were going to come to him and ask him, and got him totally excited about coaching again the Lakers, and possibly went, you know, of course I don't think they would have went all the way with all the injuries we were dealing with, you know, so, but it was just the way things happened. So like you said, it came from the top, which it did, but Jim started it. He actually started it by going to Phil. He shouldn't even went to Phil Jackson whatsoever and asked him to be the coach again. He should have just went on. If you were looking into Damn Dummy, you should have just stuck with that. Laker fans, they didn't like it, but we dealt with it and we went through that horrible season with them. You know what I'm saying? So I think that Jim started it all, and now this is what she came in and ended it, or hopefully it's ended at this point. And now that her and Jim are on the same page, or working towards it being on the same page and keeping this Laker organization intact and moving forward and trying to win a championship, because that, the bottom line is, that's what we're trying to do. Lakers need to get back on top. And so I think shame on Jim for using his dead father as a scapegoat on hiring Damn Dummy and saying that he was the one who said my dad would have given his blessings on hiring this man. So that's all I have pretty much to say on that.
Don't get me started on Jim Buss. You know, I'll tell you that much. To me, he's done a lot more wrong in this than Jeannie Buss has done and may ever will.
Yeah, definitely. So Larry, what are your thoughts on this? I know you talked about it too. You were, you know, pretty much thinking on the side of Jeannie, you know, and not being able to make that, being the last decision maker in the Laker organization. But what are your thoughts on now she coming out and stating the fact that she felt that she was betrayed? And let's make our comments kind of short and sweet so we can move on. We're going to do an hour and a half show today, and as we get closer to the seasons, we're gonna move back into a 2-hour show. Go right ahead, Larry.
Okay. Well, I'll make it short and sweet. I do agree with Jeannie because of the fact that, you know, we were all under the assumption that, you know, Phil was going to be coming back in the coach. And then, you know, to, you know, do it over, the, you know, it was over that weekend. Then at the last minute, they wound up going with Mike D'Antoni. Immediately, it was just disrespectful. I mean, you know, here's a guy, probably to me, the greatest coach of all time, 11-time champion. And then to go and have everybody including him thinking that he's going to be the shoo-in for the job. And then at the last minute, you know, they call him at, I think it was midnight or something, and tell him Mike D'Antoni got the job. You don't do that to a Hall of Fame class coach like that. I mean, you know, if you didn't want him for the job, you shouldn't have even gave him the assumption that he was going to get the job. But, you know, to go there and then lead him on, you know, say, okay, fine. You know, he needed, I think, you know, they was going to give him the weekend to think about it, and then last minute, it's disrespectful. I mean, I agree with Jeannie. I do believe that as far as it getting out, it shouldn't have got out and stuff in the book. But, you know, again, that's her man. And I think that she's standing by Phil, you know, the fact that, you know, she's upset. I'm upset. I'm still upset he didn't get the job. And I've been a Laker fan for 34 years, and I never will get over that. I'm not a, you know, I don't know how close her and Jim Buss are. I mean, I don't know, maybe, you know, the relationship, I don't know, maybe behind closed doors is a little different, but they don't seem like as close as I think that, you know, maybe your brother and sister should be. But, again, that's a whole different thing. But, it's, you know, I do believe that, again, it shouldn't have gone out. But at the same time, she's defending her man. You know, the fact that, you know, this is a Hall of Fame coach that was offered the opportunity to come back. I mean, I really believe Phil would have came back. But then at the last minute, to just railroad him like that and bring in a coach who and I'm not a fan of D'Antoni's either. I mean, I'm still a Phil Jackson fan. And to do that, it was wrong. But, I mean, I think that stuff like that shouldn't get out. But, you know, in the heat of the moment, you know, things are said, things are brought out that shouldn't come out. And I think that's what, you know, happened. But, again, I do, you know, I still have the, you know, greatest respect for Jeannie as the, you know, as far as Laker management, because I think she really has a good vested interest with this team. I mean, I really believe that she is, you know, to me, when it comes to the Lakers, she got a good vested interest as far as looking for this team to go and win championships and getting this team back in the next, getting to that next level. So.
Right. Okay. Well, I appreciate your comment, and hopefully things will change. You know, hopefully with the season starting very soon, everything will be intact. You know, this will be forgotten. And what I want to say is, Eugene, welcome in my chat room. Eugene Norris is in my chat room. Val Sheen is in the chat room. Thank you guys for tuning in tonight. Eugene said Jim is tripping. Jim has to sit in the back seat when Phil returns, and that's correct. He's afraid. He's afraid that, you know, that Phil is going to make him look bad, which he's making himself do. Has nothing to do with him making with Phil Jackson making him look bad. He's making himself look bad. So we're going to go ahead and move on. We did talk about Lamar last week as well, and Lamar, of course, we all know is going through some things. It's out there that he is on drugs. He has been on crack binges and things like that. And he's gotten stopped by the police and arrested for a DUI. And then he's also blaming his dad, who is also, I believe, a recovering addict, or he's possibly still on drugs. But it was in the news on TMZ that Lamar has had it with his dad and will no longer pay his rent. And the clock is ticking before his dad, name is Joe, is thrown out on the street. And Lamar called his dad this week and went ballistic over the comments that his dad had made about him and the Kardashians. So, you know, his dad claims Lamar had been paying his rent for 4 years, a hefty tag of almost $3,000 per month, you guys, he's been paying his dad's rent. And he said Lamar made it clear to him that he is now on his own. So he's pretty pissed that his dad went out there and started talking about the Kardashians. But you know what? You know, I don't blame Khloe at all, because Khloe loves her man. She loves Lamar, and she has his back. Again, we spoke on this, and I think Lamar has just lost you ever since he was dismissed from the Lakers or traded from the Lakers two seasons ago. That's when he started to go down, you know, and I just hope that he gets help. I really do. I understand that his anniversary was on September 27th. Him and Khloe's anniversary came up, and he was nowhere to be found. So it's really sad that, you know, I read an article that he came back from L.A. from Palm Springs on Wednesday night, got some cash, a lot of cash, and he was telling people he was spending it on his anniversary present for Chloe. But it went to surprise that Chloe with something big today for that. He was going to buy her something big. It didn't go that way. He spent well over $100,000 on the present is what they said, but it looks like he may have not did that. So hopefully he is using that money to go into a rehab, you know, because he said he was going to take Chloe to Santa Barbara and all of that, and it just seemed like it didn't happen. So I really, really hope that he get himself together. And, you know, we're praying for him. We love him. We want him to get his life together, you guys. We really do. We want him to really get himself together. So the reason why I'm keep putting you guys on me because I keep hearing that background noise in there, in the background. So I want to get rid of that, you guys. I don't want to hear that because it was really, when you listen back to our shows, it doesn't sound good at all. It kind of overshadows the conversation that we had on that live show. What I want to do is give a shout out to Laker Nation News and Updates. Laker Nation News and Updates is a Facebook page, you guys. Make sure you guys check it out. A shout out to Addison Gums. Shout out to you. That is the Facebook page, Worldwide Laker Gang for Life. Eric Hammond is the CEO of that particular Facebook page. Make sure you join Everything Lakers as well. I have my own Facebook page. You can get in. And you can also follow me on my Facebook page. And let me go ahead, you guys. I'm going to put you guys on mute because I'm still hearing that background noise. So I'll bring you guys back in a moment. I want to go ahead and talk about this real quick. We got a lot of Laker news that's out there. And, again, like I said, media day was yesterday, which was totally exciting for the Lakers. We don't know when Kobe Bryant is going to be returning. I'm going to bring up our schedule in a minute so we can go through that briefly. It doesn't look like he will be playing that first game, which I'm fine with. I'm going to be at that first game against the Clippers. So it's going to be a great game, even without Kobe Bryant being involved. I know that Kobe is going to be itching to get in that game. So the next topic I want to talk to is about the five adjustments Mike Dumby must make to keep his L.A. Lakers job this season. Because you know me, I'm not a big, huge fan of Dan Dumby, Dan Antoni. That is my nickname that has been given to him. I think with these players that they acquired, Nick Young, Wesley Jordan, we got Farmar back. We still have Jody Meeks, we still have Steve Blake, we still have Jordan Hill, the players that were already on the team with Pau Gasol and Kobe Bryant. We still have these guys. Middle row piece is gone. Dwight Howard is gone. Earl Clark is gone. Some of these players that did help out last season are gone. So we revamped. We got a new team. We got a new look, and we have the same coach. And so after struggling to make the playoffs, you know, last year, I don't know if the Lakers – are even going to be a title contender. You know, I don't have the big expectations for it. But, you know, our roster no longer have, like I said, Dwight Howard. But, you know, Mitch Kupchak, who is awesome, I think. I think he's a great general manager for the Lakers. He has a lot of work out, you know. He has a lot of work to do to help this team get to the level that we're used to. So, you know, L.A. will be led by, of course, our two future Hall of Famers, Kobe Bryant and Pau Gasol, whose job seems to be made easier by the young little players that we've signed in this offseason. So there is no reason that the Lakers shouldn't earn themselves a convincing postseason berth in 2014, which I believe we're going to make that postseason. Now, if the team doesn't end up in the playoffs, we know that Dan Dumby is going to be gone. We all know that. He is gone. He will no longer be a Lakers coach. So that puts me in, that makes me think, should the Lakers, you know, I know that the Lakers are not going to throw this season away, you know, but I don't know a damn dummy again. I feel like he is not a right coach. Now, although he is in the second coming of Phil Jackson, despite the fact that he constantly be compared, and I don't know why people compare him to the Zen Master, but then I do know why, because he's sitting in the front seat of the Lakers. He's the coach, so that's why they do it. So as long as he's in L.A., Cam Dummy is a good coach. Now, he came into a tough situation, so I give him that last year. You know, taking over a team 5 games into the regular season and not being given the luxury of a preseason in the training camp, but he has that this season. So this year, having a full offseason under his belt will make or break him. It won't be an easy ride for Cam Dummy, but he can make some key adjustments with the Lakers next season in order to keep his job. So he needs to stay out of the spotlight, you guys. He needs to stay out of the spotlight because when he gets in the spotlight, he says things that he shouldn't say. I cannot stand some of the things that he says. I mean, although he allowed everything about the 2000 Lakers to become a circus last season. And it just seemed very weird to me. You know, he just talked out of his – it's like he talked first and then he thought about it after he talked. Now, first and foremost, there was the infamous rivalry between Kobe Bryant. Okay? Between Kobe Bryant – and I put you guys on mute because I keep hearing this background noise. I wish you guys would put yourself on mute when you're not speaking, and then when you're ready to speak, take yourself off of mute. So first and foremost, there was this infamous rivalry between Kobe Bryant and Dwight Howard that magnified the already overwhelming attention being paid to the Laker team. And so now D12, Dwight Howard is gone, so Cam Dummy doesn't have to worry about that anymore. But however, he's going to have to keep an eye on some of the new young guys, specifically Nick Young, who I love, who clashed with Doug Collins last season on the Philadelphia 76ers. Now, Nick Young has a tendency to pretty much do and say whatever comes to his mind, so that could result in some problematic situations for the team. And so, you guys, don't get me wrong. I love the energy that Nick Young brings. But that isn't going to change the fact that Cam Dummy will have to stay on top of him. So he has to be a coach. He has to be a coach that's respected. And so it's imperative that Cam Dummy keeps all panic to a minimum, both in the locker room and in the media. I mean, he handled himself well in the face of scrutiny last year, but he's in L.A., and he would absolutely get grilled in the press room like he did before after a few consecutive losses. So no more nonsense for him. He must be all about the hoops. You know what I'm saying? So I'm going to bring you guys in real quick and get your comments on this because we all know that he says some things in the media, then when he thinks about it later, you know, it seems like he thinks about it later, he looks embarrassed. And the things that he said just upset the whole Laker Nation. So what do you think, Steve? Do you think he needs to stay out of that spotlight, keep it on the hardwood floor, you know, try to gain that respect from these players? What do you think? Okay, Larry, what do you think?
Well, what I think, Stephanie, is I agree with you on that. I think he needs to try to just keep it on the hardwood. And then, two, you know, don't always panic. But, you know, again, as the season wears on, you know, learn to get accustomed to this role at the same time and the fans as well, because again, it's not just the team you got to get adjusted with, but also it's the fans, because again, already the fans, we already don't have a good image of him anyway. So it's like anything he does, you know, he's always going to be, you know, because again, everybody wants Phil Jackson as the coach. So he's always going to be with that microscope because of the fact that he's in a spot that many feel he should be in anyway. And I mean, as far as like Nick Young and the young guys, you know, I think as the season wears on with, you know, once, you know, with Kobe and Steve Nash and Paul Gasol, those guys, I think they'll help those young guys. And then, you know, a guy like Nick Young, I think if D'Antoni's system is working, I don't really think we'll see Nick Young so much really question it if things are going good. I mean, if the team is, you know, playing, you know, good ball, then I think somebody like Nick Young can, you know, I think he'll be able to buy into that system because, you know, it's just like with Chicago when they had Dennis Rodman out there during that 96-97-98 season. You know, when he was with Chicago, everybody was trying to figure out, well, how is it going to work with Phil Jackson and him and Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen. And you've seen all of those pieces come together and they won championships. I mean, you know, Dennis Rodman, you know, he was a player that people, you know, like he said in San Antonio, he was in you know, with Popovich and them, they didn't really like the way he came as far as different his attitude. But then when he went to Chicago, you know, he was able to buy into the system that Phil brought in there, and it all came together. So I think that will help too. And then you know, that's you know, my take on that situation out there.
Okay. Well, then the second, the fourth, like I said, there's five adjustments that Mike Dumby must make to keep his L.A. Lakers job this season. The fourth one would be don't run Kobe into the ground. He does not need to run Kobe into the ground. That right there, to me, is a problem. Because last year, and I'm not saying that, you know, because he kept, you know, Kobe, we all know Kobe is the type of person where he wants to take over and he will keep himself in the game. Even if Bam Dummy tries to take him out, then Kobe is going to stay in. And I'm not saying that he was the cause of Kobe Bryant tearing his Achilles. But I would really hate to be the one to tell Kobe Bryant to come out the game. I mean, I understand Bam Dummy because he know that he knows what type of person Kobe is. So, but to be a coach, you know, Phil Jackson would tell Kobe, get your ass out of the game. Excuse me. You know, that's not a cuss word. But, you know, Kobe, get out of the game. Sit down. Kobe would just have to get over it. But that's what Bam Dummy is going to have to do this season coming up. You know, he especially after his inability to do it last year, and it cost our team. I mean, at 35 years old, Kobe is ranked in the NBA with 38.6 minutes a night. It is understood that sometimes the black mama simply won't come out of the game, especially a close one. He thinks he's indestructible, but the Achilles injury he suffered with just a pair of regular season contests left prove otherwise. And this was a quote from ESPN. But you guys, however, Bam Dummy needs to sit down and work out a plan with Kobe once he gets back from that injury before he gets hurt. I mean, Kobe was playing an insane 45.2 minutes in the month of April. That simply cannot happen again this year. And sometimes there's just no stopping Kobe. We all know in the heat of a battle he gets in that mode. He gets in that black mamba mode. And whether you're a defender or a coach trying to take him out, Kobe and Bam Dummy have to learn to see eye to eye about playing time before the season even starts. So it's his job, it's Bam Dummy's job to make it much easier and allow Kobe to get through this entire season in one piece. And that is key. That is so key in this situation here. Are you there, Steve? Steve, are you there?
Yes. Yes, I'm here.
Oh, okay.
Sorry about that. I had a call from my father. That's probably where the background noise was coming from. So I do apologize. I had to clear that out.
No,
so.
Okay. No problem.
I am back now. My apologies. Now, I heard what you said about D'Antoni in terms of staying out of the spotlight. He's already well into the spotlight. I'm not sure he's going to be able to escape that. I do think that, you know, a lot of, you know, it seems when things go bad with the Lakers, they go really bad. I would think that the Lakers are really good or really bad. There doesn't seem to be any middle ground as far as that would go. But somehow I think the season will go, you know, it was high expectations coming into last year. It seems to be very low expectations coming into this year, and that Tony's going to be gone and Jim should be gone and all these contracts coming off the books and so on and so forth. All right. So it's going to be somewhere in the middle that Tony is going to have his moments where he looks like a genius, and he's going to have his moments where he looks like damn dummy, as you've been saying, Stephanie. So it is what it is, but at the end of the day, it's, you know, we need to manage expectations, but that doesn't mean keeping them low, as in it's an automatic the Lakers are going to be failures this year, but it's not automatic that it'll be high success, they'll have a high level of success either. It's going to be somewhere in the middle. So I say let the season unfold. I know we have a lot of time on our hands as Laker fans to consider, you know, what may happen, what may not happen, and we're fearing the worst while trying to expect the best at the same time, but it is what it is. And I think D'Antoni, you know, he's going to be well-served to just do what he does best with a team that he could be potentially successful with, and we'll see what happens. And if it doesn't work out, great. If it does, you know, that's, or if it doesn't work out, so be it. If it does work out, great. But we don't know what this Laker team is going to do, you know, during the season or even after next season. I do know this. The future is bright, and we just got to allow it to develop and be as patient as we can while we have either very high or very low expectations.
Right. And that's where I have to agree with you on that. Now, and we're speaking on now, you know, Laker Nation, if you're listening in, if you're streaming us live, call in. The number is 347-205-9366. You could join in on the conversation. We're speaking about the five adjustments Mike D'Antoni must make to keep his L.A. Lakers job this season. And the next one is, and you know, we have to give Paul Gasol, he has to make his plays. He has to give Paul Gasol the ball. That's the bottom line. Feed him the ball. I mean, last year, Paul Gasol was very unhappy, and that made him an unproductive Paul Gasol. And an unproductive Paul Gasol in 2014 will likely result in an unemployed Mike D'Antoni after next season. So last year, the seven-footer, Paul Gasol, attempted the fewest number of shots that he has in 12 years, that he has had in 12 years in the league, just 579. Consequently, Paul Gasol point total is 673, and scoring average is only 13.7, which was the lowest he had ever been at. Okay, and this was from this source came from Basketball Reference. Now, D'Antoni offense, we all know, has traditionally revolved around launching of quick jumpers and forcing an up-tempo fast break pace. But it's hard to ask him to completely change his method. But Paul Gasol should finish the season with close to twice the amount of shots that he took in 2013. That's about the line. Paul Gasol will see action as the roller in a pick-and-roll sets with Steve Nash. But D'Antoni, he must also give him some looks with his back to the basket. Now, outside of Paul Gasol, L.A. doesn't have – we don't have a bona fide post present on the roster. But we all know that recently Paul Gasol said he is happy and excited to be playing the center. And so he will be playing the center for the Lakers. Now, throwing the ball into the paint will result into easy buckets, open lanes, and clear looks on the perimeter for Paul Gasol. So D'Antoni, he doesn't have to do anything crazy. All he needs to do is get Gasol the rock. Give him the rock. That's all we ask. Give him the rock. Let him play. Let him get his points. What do you think, Larry?
Well, I agree with what you're saying. I think he does need to get the ball because Paul Gasol, in the low post, he is a very good inside presence. And I think that, you know, again, like, the, you know, I always believe that, again, you got to give the big man the ball. You got to feed him, you know, the ball sometime also because, you know, there are going to be a lot of nights where we're taking on teams and they're going to have centers and he's going to have an advantage at his size. And I just think, to me, that, you know, he's, to me, more of a center. That's just me. I think he's more of a center than a power forward.
Yes.
And I know that if I was D'Antoni, I would make sure that he get the ball, get some touches, because Paul Gasol, I mean, I've watched him play, and I mean, there are some nights that when he gets that ball, he's dangerous inside. And I mean, and I think if you feed the big man the ball and help, you know, him along the way with, you know, getting him some offense, I mean, then I think this team is going to be, it's going to be, in the long run, it's going to be better too. So, I mean, you know, Mike D'Antoni is somewhere along the line in his system. He's going to have to incorporate that in. He's going to have to change it up and get Gasol some touches because, you know, once you can do that, I mean, and can get him the ball sometimes too, I mean, because he can score. I mean, Gasol is, you know, a scorer too. I mean, and that's a lot of times some offense that we lose, you know, and especially some nights we take on teams and we have advantage at that position. So that's how I feel about that.
Right. Okay. Well, great. And so now we're up to number two. Again, we're speaking on five adjustments Mike D'Antoni must make to keep his L.A. Lakers job this season. And I'm not a big fan of D'Antoni, you guys. You guys all know me. If you listen to Everything Lakers, I'm not a big fan of his. But in order for him to keep his job and in order for him to have a successful team, the Lakers, helping the Lakers get back to where we are used to winning championships, these are the five adjustments that he needs to make. Now, if you want to make a comment on this, you could come into the chat room by logging in to www.thejkingnetwork.com, or you can call in at 347-205-9366. Press the number one. I'll bring you in, and I can, and you will be able to be on live on air with us. Now, number two is alter expectations. Alter expectations. The Lakers finished with the same record as the Chicago Bulls last season and just two games back of the Golden State Warriors, who was falling out of control last year. But yet, you guys, we still failed to go further than what we were supposed to. Well, you know, we had a lot of injuries, too, so that had a lot to do with it, too. But yet, L.A.'s 2013 campaign has been viewed as one of the worst seasons in the franchise history, you guys. Now, the Lakers did get swept in the first round of the playoffs. However, Stephen Curry tore his Achilles and missed the postseason. Golden State wouldn't have gotten very far either, you guys. So what it comes down to is this very simple expectation. It's expectations. L.A. was supposed to win a title last season but failed miserably. And it's viewed as even a bigger flop because of the sprawling mountain range of expectations the team brought upon itself. And this was said from ESPN. Now, Steve Nash and Dwight Howard were all on magazine covers when they came to the Lakers. We were all excited about them coming. I was one of them. I was raving about Dwight Howard being a Laker. I was raving about old Steve Nash being a Laker and all of this, and I was getting torn down by all these Laker haters saying, oh, my God, I cannot believe you're talking about these old players. And we, of course, Meta World Peace was predicting that they would only lose a single-digit amount of games and set the NBA record for wins in a season, and that didn't work. You know, that didn't happen. That was actually just a nutty comment made by Meta World Peace, but we expect that from him. But this season coming up, Dan and Tony, mentality and that of the team as well, it can't be championship or bust. It can't be this year. I mean, I'm not even there. I don't want it. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying it's championship or bust. I'm looking for a high competitive season this year. I'm looking at the Lakers being very competitive, making it a lot of fun, seeing these young players on the floor, you know, the chemistry between these Lakers. Again, we brought Jordan Farmar back. We have Nick Young, who's fun to watch. We got Wesley Jordan. We signed some new players, and I'll go through that our roster at the end of in the last hour of the show. But next season, we cannot, Laker Nation, we cannot say championship or bust. It's just not going to work for us. It should be, let's shock the world, or let's show everyone what we can do. That's what the Lakers should be doing. So the Lakers aren't supposed to be good, according to ESPN summer forecast, but rank them as the 12th team in the Western Conference. But because of the lower expectations, L.A. would be better than last season, and I really believe that. They will be better than last season. I trust that. I really believe that. What do you think, Steve? Do you think we'll be better than last season?
Yeah, absolutely we will. And I kind of want to work in, you know, an impression about Pau Gasol, what Larry was talking about before, which made sense. I think maybe the biggest difference with the Lakers this year over the last couple of years especially is that it's not going to be a two big man system where you got two big men that constantly need to be fed the ball, whether it be Andrew Bynum and Pau Gasol or last year Dwight Howard and Pau Gasol. Chris Kamen is coming in, and the Lakers signed Dan Gadzuris this week, which I'm sure we'll talk about, but I think is very serviceable as a third center on the roster, a third big guy with a lot of fouls that he can give, some rebounds he can get. But Chris Kamen is not coming in to kind of play, you know, 1A, you know, 1 and 1A as far as centers would go, like Andrew Bynum and Dwight Howard did with Pau Gasol. Pau Gasol is going to be the man at center this year. So I think that will make the Lakers better. He's not going to be isolated to the perimeter shooting three-pointers. He'll be able to operate from the high and low blocks where he's comfortable and be able to help facilitate the offense with his passing or obviously his ability to shoot with both hands, particularly with that left hand that he's very impressive with, and the little Hakeem Olajuwon dream shake move that he has, or where he'll spin one way and then turn another to get a shot up, which he's also very good at. So that alone is going to make the Lakers much better this year. But what's also going to make them better this year is that they have some young guards coming in, like Nick Young and Wesley Johnson, who are going to come in and help get the Lakers a little bit more athleticism to be able to compete with some of the more athletic teams in the Western Conference, like a Golden State, like you were mentioning, Stephanie. The key for the Lakers more than anything else is health. If Steve Nash, Kobe Bryant, and Pau Gasol can stay healthy, and those are your tri-captains right there, There's enough depth around this Lakers to get to the playoffs and make some noise. I agree with you. We are not. We should not be looking at it as championship season or bust. We should look at it as that we have an opportunity to be better than what we were last year and look to free agency next summer and show potential free agents out there that the Lakers are well on their way to being back. So I do believe we'll be a better team this year because the parts seem to fit better, in my estimation, for D'Antoni's system. And it should be a more fun team to watch. Again, if they're healthy, that's going to be the biggest key.
Yes, that is going to be the biggest key. If they stay healthy, I think it's going to be a great, exciting. And like I said, again, I'm not expecting, to get to the finals and to win the chip. But if we get there, I'm cool. Of course, we're all cool with that. But the expectation is not there for me. We're here, again, we're talking about the five adjustments that Mike D'Antoni must make to keep his Laker job this season. And, again, I'm not a huge fan of Damn Dummy, but these are the things that he needs to do. And the number one reason is he needs to maximize potential on revamped roster, which we've done. And since, Dwight Howard made his decision to become a Houston Rocket, and congratulations to him for that, because I still like Dwight Howard. Although he left the Lakers, he's doing what is good for him, and I appreciate that because I don't want him to be here in Los Angeles, don't be happy, and he can't bring his A game. I'd rather him leave, and I appreciate him being pretty much honest about it. We all know that he and Kobe were not on the same page. That's fine. So that's fine with me. However, Dwight Howard, he made that decision. So, of course, we know the sky didn't fall in L.A. because he left. But L.A.'s front office went out and signed a bunch of fresh faces, and most notably is Jordan Farmer, who I'm excited about because he knows. He knows how to coexist with Kobe Bryant. We also got Wesley Johnson, Nick Young, and Chris Kaman, and vastly improved our roster. Of course, the Laker haters out there don't believe that, but we have. We actually have improved our Laker roster with these young legs. Chris Kaman is not old, but he's not young either. He's in the middle. Now, D'Antoni finally has the shooters that he is used to having in his pretty much of his coaching system. So these shooters, in Nick Young and Wesley Johnson, he now can play out on the wing and get to clean looks for through the pick and roll now. Now, outside of Kobe Bryant, the Lakers didn't have a consistent three-point shooter last season, and the team was pretty just mediocre. And 35% from beyond the arc indicated that. So Jordan Farmer is the most athletic point guard on our roster, and he is much better suited for the tempo that D'Antoni is comfortable playing with. So, and then we all know that Steve Nash won two MVP awards playing under D'Antoni on the Phoenix Suns, even though I think one of those should have went to Kobe Bryant at that time. But he's now approaching 40 years old, and he's not the player he once was. I thought he was. That season when he became a Laker, I was riding his coattails saying, oh, wow, we have Steve Nash, he plays soccer, he's in good health, but he was one of the injured players last season. And now we have Chris Kaman, who is a big body in the paint, which I like because he can come in and back up Pau Gasol. But will he be invisible from any of the potential altercations or controversies that the Lakers had to deal with at the center position? I don't think so now that Pau Gasol will be taking that lead position. Now, this is a completely different team, you guys, from last season. It actually fits D'Antoni's coaching style. So, with that being said, in order for him to keep this job as a Lakers coach and sidelines for years to come, he has to prove that he can maximize the potential line within the 2014. Now, and this is a playoff team. Now, what I think is that D'Antoni will not continue to be a Laker. Even if we make the playoffs, I don't think that the Laker organization should keep him as our coach. I really don't. Because he is still, even though we have these players, because I know that the Lakers will be making some changes, the Laker organization will be looking for some big players come 2014. And that's why they freed up a lot of that cap space. Okay, I'm going to bring you guys back in, but every time I open up your mic, I hear all of this background noise. So I'm going to bring you guys back in. Larry?
Yes, definitely.
All right. Now,
I'm here.
on that, okay, so on that last adjustment that I just mentioned, you know, the Lakers need, you know, he basically has these young players now. You know what I'm saying? He has the right players to do exactly what he wants to do. He has the training camp. He has the, you know, he has everything that he needs to help the Lakers become a championship team again. Do you think after this season or during this season, do you think that he will still be our coach, even if we make the playoffs? Hello?
Oh, Tiffany, were you asking me the question? I'm sorry.
Yeah, yes, I'm asking you that, Larry.
Oh, you know what? I really can't see that. I mean, at this point, because again, you know, like we said, we're looking at, you know, 2014 free agency, and from what, you know, if we're trying to get the big name players like a LeBron and a Carmelo, if he's our coach, I just don't think that those free agents are going to want to come here to play in his system. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't, you know, I can't see him being the coach after next year. And the fact that we're trying to, if we're going to try to draw these big free agents here, that he's going to be the coach of the Lakers. I mean, I think he's a good plan A coach, but
mm-hmm.
if we're trying to go to plan B and we're going to try to get these, you know, let's say that we, you know, do in fact, you know, make the playoffs and everything in the free agency, you know, this coming season, I just don't think that he's going to be the coach that is going to be able to, for us to say, okay, let's say LeBron, even there was a chance we could get LeBron and Carmelo. I just don't think they're going to want to come here with the kind of system he's run. And then the fact that, you know, Dwight, and again, you know, I'm happy for Dwight going to Houston, but he clearly did not want to be under Mike D'Antoni's system. So I think that's going to, you know, I just don't think he's going to be the coach after next year. And the fact that, you know, again, if we, you know, are trying to draw, let's say we're able to draw those big free agents, you know, the fact that they're not going to want to come here to play under his system. But then again, depending on, again, you know, with the season we have, I mean, you know, so I guess it's going to depend on as far as our season and everything and where this team goes this year. And I'm like you, the same thing, expectations of a championship. I'm not looking that far either. You know, I think this team is going to be competitive. And
mm-hmm.
and then, you know, again, let's, you know, look at, you know, free agency this coming off season.
Right. And now we have like 19 players on the roster right now. Of course, we only could have, I believe, 13 to 15 players on that roster when the season starts. So there are going to be some cuts coming down to it. I want to give a shout out to Madison Media, who is in the chat room, who is a diehard Bulls fan. And I'll bring you in a moment, Steve. But he's a diehard Bulls fan. He gives me a hard time. But I like the Bulls. But I wonder if D. Rose is going to be ready to come. I understand that he is ready to come back after a long season of actually recuperating from his injury. Kobe is going to return faster than him. But, of course, he's not on the level as Kobe Bryant. We all know that. Even though I love me some D. Rose. Don't get me wrong. I do love Chicago Bulls. I just don't love them as much as my Lakers. So, Steve, I'm going to open up your mic real quick and make that comment quick. I want to go ahead and play, once you make your comment, I want to play an excerpt from Dan Antoni. I'm trying to get that name right. I'm trying to keep it straight. I want to get play this excerpt from him and see what you guys think about that. But go ahead, Steve.
Okay. Well, you know, we saw last year why the Lakers are bringing D'Antoni back is they feel like the Lakers finished strong at 28-12, and a lot of, you know, what D'Antoni
mm-hmm.
faced was coming in the middle of the year, injuries and so on and so forth, but still managed to finish the season strong at 28-12 before flaming out in the playoffs without Kobe Bryant, of course. So I don't think the Lakers held him responsible for that. So to answer your question, let's just say the Lakers are healthy this year and the Lakers management does not have any expectations of them getting to a final. So let's just say they get in the playoffs and they get to the second round this year. Would it be justifiable to fire him considering that the team may have improved over what they did last year? And so I just want to kind of plant that seed. I agree there's probably a better coach out there for the Lakers, but if
mm-hmm.
they improve and go deeper in the playoffs this year and it's a healthy team, which indicating that they're playing better, can you really justify firing D'Antoni at the end of the year if you're Lakers management, and that's what we're ultimately going to be watching, I think. So I just want to kind of plant that seed in everyone's mind, and that you might not get your wish of D'Antoni being gone if the Lakers play better this year and get further in the playoffs, because technically that would signify improvement, and if the team improves, how do you justify getting rid of the head coach that helps make it happen?
Well, my thing is, just like Larry mentioned, you know, we're looking for these big players to come in. If these players come, you know, they are looking to go after players who can help the Lakers actually achieve another chip, another championship, are they willing to sit in and be coached by this particular coach? So that is going to be a huge question, in fact. I understand exactly what you're saying, Steve. Yeah, if he takes us and improves, that's fine. But in order to get further, improving, you know, that's Dan and Tony's MO. He can take a team so far, but he can never get to that ultimate position of winning a championship, and that's what the Lakers are used to. We're used to winning. We're used to winning a championship, and Kobe don't have a lot of time, and he's chasing number six. So with Dan and Tony, can he, even if he improved the team, are we going to be able to get these big-name players while we're making cap space to achieve to get these type of players to actually get that ultimate final championship for Kobe Bryant? Let me go ahead and play this particular excerpt, and I hope you guys can hear it because I'm actually playing it from the speakers of my computer, and it's not uploaded on the board. So I hope it sounds okay to you guys. So I'm going to go ahead and play it. It's going to be Dan and Tony having a conversation here, and he's talking about it's a countdown to camp. It's from Kobe. He's talking about from Kobe's Achilles to the full season roster cuts and so on. So we're going to listen in right quick. One moment, you guys.
What was it that you wanted to do that you weren't able to do?
Just two things. I mean, just right off the bat, we tried to spread the floor more than Wilder Orbit could. Try to get Powell out on the wings more than what was good for the team. We tried to run probably too much. We had to find a rhythm that they could run at. I think that's the two biggest things. How does one play? What style of basketball do we want to play? It took a while. Biggest reason why it took longer than what I would hope was that Nash was hurt the whole time. And I kept thinking, well, when Nash comes back, this will all fall into place.
Did the challenge catch you by surprise, though? Because you took the job, and I remember one of the first days on the job, we talked about how this team should average 110 points a game, and it definitely should compete for the world championship. Did it catch you by surprise?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I thought it would be easier. I thought, there were certain things I envisioned, Dwight Howard, Nash, pick and roll. My gosh. That's what I... live on. Or it didn't quite work out. When you come into it, Nash is not 100%. For a long time, maybe all year, he wasn't 100%. Dwight Howard wasn't 100%. So halfway through the year, his back got better. And then, like we said, we had some clashes, personality-wise, style-wise, how to play, how not to play, how to fit Powell in with Dwight. So there was just a lot of problems. I didn't sit down and say, okay. But,
this is a loss that Dwight Howard made to this franchise, the estimation of the ball.
I think it's to be determined. Still the Los Angeles Lakers, there's a lot better than one player. You do have Kobe Bryant, you got Tal Gasol, who just had an argument as a skilled man, big man in the league. We just talked about that. So the way the play is out is that you lose a very good young player that would have eventually taken over, but now we just have to change gears a little bit.
What are your expectations for Kobe Bryant? Because he's coming off his injury. Nobody knows when he's going to be back. What can you tell us about that?
Well, nobody knows. There's not a timetable. Kobe, he's doing everything he can to get ready as soon as he can. Whenever that is, the doctors will determine that. But you'd expect sometime there to be out there when he comes out. I think he's going to be good. I think he's going to be real good.
You've been through a lot over the last several years as a coach with the New York Knicks and obviously your first year with the Los Angeles Lakers. Is Mike D'Antoni still the affable, lovable, friendly, just
not around certain people? No, I coach basketball for a living. My gosh, this great day has been great to me. I'm like blessed. I mean, this is fun, and it's a challenge. And I think all coaches know what a challenge it is. But I wake every day. I'm lucky enough to be able to wake up, have my adrenaline pumping, and going in the gym and working with the best athletes in the world. So, you know, first of all, nobody does, but I definitely don't feel sorry for myself. I'm like pumped up, ready to go. We'll see what adventures we can have here in Los Angeles and see where it goes.
Okay, so that was Dan and Tony giving his thoughts on this upcoming season, which is awesome. I mean, I like what he's talking about. I like that he has a nice attitude about everything, about the upcoming season. So I hope it kind of works out for him. But the bottom line is, if he does improve the team, that's great. You know, he had a good run as a coach for the Lakers, but I just don't feel that he can take us to the ultimate goal, which is to win another championship before Kobe retires. I really don't. I just don't think he does. Now, it's 8 o'clock right now. I was trying to cue up a song because Club Nouveau is coming out with a new record, a new album that's going to be coming out very soon. And there is a single that's out right now. I'm trying to cue it up right now. It's called It Ain't Love. And this record is actually out right now. And let me see if I can find it. I know it's here in the queue, but this single is out and it will be available for purchase. But the album is called Consciousness. It's going to be an awesome record. I want everybody, if you're a Club Nouveau fan, if you're you're going to love it. And I know it's in here somewhere. Where is it? Okay, so while I'm trying to cue this up, I want to give a shout out to some of, let me see if I can find it, Club Nouveau. It should be under Club Nouveau in here. If I can't play it, then I'm going to play another song that's going to be on the album. And some of these are yet are not fully mixed, but I know it should be. Oh, here it is. All right, so I'm going to play it. It's called That Ain't Love. Oh, no. Hopefully this is it, you guys, because I know that they're different, you know, before Jay mixed it all up. But this is it. That Ain't Love by Club Nouveau. Make sure you guys support this record. It's going to be a great record. We all know that Club Nouveau was awesome back in the 80s and the 90s. And I'm a huge fan of Club Nouveau, of course. So listen in. Let me know your thoughts, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Everything Lakers. We'll be right back.
This is a song about love.
Yeah.
But it's not a good love. It's not a real love.
Oh, love.
And if your love sounds like this, then that ain't love.
When I work, putting hard days, that's how I keep these bills paid. At my crib, things go my way. Don't give a damn about what your girlfriend say. When I come home, ain't no way in. Should have my dinner on my plate and clear the table when my meal is done. And break me off, girl, when I want some.
Girlfriend, don't let him watch you like that. Trick wheel. Walk away with your girlfriend. Better yet, you better run to that love.
See, in my house, that's how it's gotta be. Knew I was thugging when you met me. So you know that I don't play around.
Well, I know that.
Girl, don't make me put my Mac hand down.
You better step back.
If you want me to be real with you,
yeah, real.
You better do the things I tell you to. So don't be tripping, just respect
you
me.
Gotta, I'm
cause
respect.
In my house, that's how it's gotta be.
Girlfriend, trying to run a game on you.
That ain't love.
Now rules from the old school, trying to make a claim on you.
That ain't love.
Bad boys ain't nothing but trouble. Your mama used to say to you.
That ain't love.
And if he lays his hands on you, gonna be trouble.
Listen here, ain't no talk back. Ain't got no time for no tit for tat. Girl, you know I'm where your place is at. So you better recognize that. See,
I'm a player from the old school, and in my house it's just the same old rule. So don't be tripping, just respect me, 'cause in my house that's how it's got to be. You love me, baby, I've been good to you.
Welcome back to Everything Lakers. That was Club Nouveau's new record that is slated to be, it actually is coming off of the new record that will be released in February 2014. It's called Consciousness. That was the title song, That Ain't Love. So make sure you guys, when it's available, you know, go to iTunes, download it, support this record. J. King, this is J. King Network. So you guys, if you listen in, you know, you want to support it. It's a great record. I love the whole album. I've heard it. So make sure you do support it, you guys. So I want to go ahead and jump into the topic because we know that Kobe Bryant, Black Mamba, Vino, a.k.a. Vino, I mean, this dude is off the chain. We all know that he tore his Achilles back in April, and he's already set. He's already rehabbed that Achilles tendon. He is back, you guys. I really do think that he is back. Now, the one question everyone is asking, and it was during media day, which was yesterday for the Los Angeles Lakers, was the timetable for Kobe Bryant's return to the floor. I mean, although Kobe has made a miraculous recovery from surgery on his ruptured Achilles tendon, the five-time NBA champion still doesn't know when he will be good to go or a realistic timetable for where he should be right now physically. But yesterday he said, I feel good. And he said, I don't think we really have a timetable. I really don't think I have a timetable where I should be right now. And realistically, Kobe won't be returning until late November or early December, you guys. So rumors have circulated of the team that's setting a date of December 1st for Kobe's return. And it remains to be seen whether or not that can or will happen. But as usual, Kobe is as confident as ever. And with the season getting underway on October 29th against our division rival, the Los Angeles Clippers, the speculation will kick into high gear with everyone anxiously waiting for the return of the face of the franchise, Kobe Bryant, who has already been ruled out for the preseason. But the season opener remains a possibility with about 4 weeks left until the Lakers take on the Clippers at the Staples Center. Now, I don't know if you guys paid attention to on Time Warner on Sports Net, on Time Warner Sports Net, you know, Mitch Kupchak was there, of course, everyone, all the Lakers was there, all the new Lakers was there. And Mitch Kupchak, he pretty much had a little to say on the return of Kobe Bryant. I want to see if I can play this really quickly. Again, I didn't upload this on the board, so you'll be listening from the speakers of my computer. So I want to ask you guys, on the last audio that I did play, did that sound okay, or was it kind of static to you guys? Was it pretty clear?
The actual song, or all what D'Antoni was talking about before?
Yeah, what D'Antoni was talking about. Was that pretty clear?
Yeah, he rambled quite a bit, which he normally does, but
he definitely
covered his bases. It seems like he's very excited about the season. It seems like he's well prepared for it, has a good feel for the team already. So I was encouraged. I was encouraged by that as far as, you know, I didn't hear everything that he said, but he definitely covered his bases. Seems like he's got a pretty good feel for the team already, which I think is pretty encouraging.
Well, okay, good. I'm glad to. So, all right. Well, I want to play what Mitch Kupchak said, because I normally upload things on the board, but I just got this new computer, which I love. It's a touchscreen, so I love it. I'm going to start, you know, I got to transfer all of my files over to here as well from my laptop. So what do you think about the song, Steve? How do you feel about Club Nouveau's new song that's out right now, That Ain't Love? What do you think about that title?
Very, very smooth. Kind of a departure from the Club Nouveau I grew up with, you know, where mm-hmm. they have a little bit more bass, a little bit more boom, boom, mm-hmm. As far as the track would go, for lack of a better description. Very smooth, very sold out. And by sold out, I don't mean S-O-L-D, but S-O-U-L-E-D. Out. A great deal of soul inside of it. So it's a nice new sound for them in this era of music that we are now in, and kind of curious as to what else that they may produce.
Right. And how did you feel about that, Larry? Do you like that song? Do you think you would download it when it comes out?
Absolutely. I agree with Steve, Stephanie. I was a Club Nouveau fan with Lean On Me and all that. And so I do like it. I'm waiting. When it comes out, I definitely want to get one. So I'm going to definitely make sure to keep my memory bank open for that February 2014 to definitely get that. Because I like their music. And that song, I was feeling that song also.
Okay. Well, wonderful.
Absolutely.
I mean, yeah. There's 10 titles that's going to come out. The album is going to be called Consciousness. I mean, some awesome songs on there, some upbeat tempo songs you'll hear that's very similar to what Club Nouveau have done in the past. So it's going to be a great record. I'm totally excited about it. I'm part of it. I just love it. So I'm just excited to be part of the J. King Network here. You guys definitely keep supporting. We have so many shows here on the J. King Network, different formats. Make sure you tune in Monday through Friday. Or actually, Monday through Sunday, we have a show for anything that you, I mean, relationships, communication, religion, I mean, everything. A morning show called Kings in the Morning, which is totally awesome. Keeps you laughing. It's really informative, all of that. So make sure. And then also, too, you guys, I want to let you know, all of the shows here on the J.K. Network, including Everything Lakers, we're also on TuneIn. You can go to TuneIn. If you have the app on your phone, you can listen to any of the past shows, the current shows, anything. You just go to TuneIn. You type in Everything Lakers, and you can hear all of our shows. You can hear my show all over again. So it's great. You can also continue to come to Blog Talk Radio and listen to all the archive shows as well. I want to talk about 18 bold predictions for Kobe Bryant's next season, the 18th season. Kobe Bryant is in his 18th season, guys. 18th. He's 35 years old, which he just made on August 23rd of this year. Now, it's going to be an interesting season for Kobe and the Lakers. I mean, coming off a year that can only be described as wildly disappointing, Kobe Bryant enters the 2013-14 season on the mend from a nasty Achilles injury he suffered last season. And with that being said, we all know that, you know, everybody was, you know, when that happened, it was very emotional for all the Laker Nation out there when Kobe ruptured that Achilles tendon, and how he came out and still made those free throws. Very, very emotional time for the Lakers. But fortunately, you know, reports regarding Kobe rehab have been glowing, and it appears that he as if he has a legitimate shot to make a stunning return to the floor in less than 8 months. And although Kobe is 35 and recovering from a serious ailment such as a ruptured Achilles tendon, we all learned not to doubt Kobe, because he's aging, but he's also just the mentality that man carries is just out of this world. He's just, some people don't even believe that he's human. And so Kobe, again, as I mentioned earlier, he will suit up for the opening night, but I don't know if he will play on October 29th against the Los Angeles Clippers. And according to an interview with Time Out Dubois, because he was out in Dubois, Kobe found it unsure but remained hopeful about hitting the floor on the opening night. Now, I love opening night with the Lakers. It's an exciting night. They give away some good giveaways. It's the Staples Center is on fire. I know everyone wants to see Kobe on the floor. But, again, you know, I'm not expecting him to be there. But if he does show up and play, that would be totally awesome. You know, he's going to get a standing ovation when he does return. So it's going to be great. Now, Kobe will finish among the top five in minutes per game. At 34 years old, last season, Kobe Bryant played at an astounding 3,013 minutes, the sixth highest mark of his career. Even more impressive is the fact that Kobe finished second to Luol Deng in a nightly run with 38.6 minutes per game. And Luol Deng did 38.7. Now, we all may feel a little stressed to say that Kobe will finish in the top 5 minutes per game coming off a series, you know, the serious Achilles injury. But if there's one player with the mental determination and physical wherewithal to achieve a such feat, it's Kobe Bryant. And if he does, in fact, return at 100% with the renewed energy and burst he showed last season, to expect to see plenty of Kobe as a Los Angeles Lakers battle for a playoff spot. And I do believe that, because Kobe willed us to that playoff spot. I mean, I actually made a bet and made a little $200 cash bet off of that, you know, Kobe being the one that's saying we're going to make the playoffs, which he did will us to. And I got to thank Kobe Bryant for that. That $200 went a long way for me. So Kobe will also post the highest effective field goal percentage of his career as well in the 18. And these are just 18 bold predictions for Kobe Bryant. And Kobe Bryant will shoot better than 30% from the three-pointer line. Kobe Kobe's Bryant usage will top 32%. Kobe Bryant will drain multiple game winners this season in 2013, and I really do believe that. Kobe also will finish among the top six I think Tony Parker, he tied with Tony Parker at a mark of 23.10, and Kobe upped his efficiency by 1.1 from the year before. So those figures are more respectable. And so I just think that Kobe is just, you know, I love Kobe Bryant, even though with the arrogancy and the attitude that a lot of people don't like about him, he's still one of the greatest players that ever lived. And Kobe Bryant will average 4 turnovers a game. We know last season there were a lot of turnovers in our game last year, and Kobe was a part of putting that out. He had a lot of turnovers, as well as Dwight Howard. Now, Kobe will play 90% of the Los Angeles Lakers games this season. So these are just predictions, you guys. Kobe will also lead the Lakers in steals. We all know that he's great in that. Kobe Bryant will also Kobe and the Lakers will be a bottom 10 defense again. Well, we know that the system that Dan and Tony instill it doesn't have a lot of defense, but we did add Kurt Rambis to come in as the defensive coach. So I think that right there would be very helpful for the Lakers, bringing in Kurt Rambis. And I'm excited about him being part of the Lakers again, because he rode with us back in the Lake Show time. So I think that's a great addition to the Laker coaching staff. Kobe will also score 2,000 points. And again, you guys, these are 18 bold predictions for Kobe Bryant next season. And Kobe Bryant will capture the NBA scoring crown. I hope so. Kobe Bryant will lead the Los Angeles Lakers to the playoffs. I do believe that. Kobe Bryant will make the first team All-NBA. That's a given. Kobe Bryant will be back to his old self, if not better. I believe that. So those are the 18 predictions that I think that Kobe Bryant will achieve in his 18th season. What do you guys think?
Very optimistic. very, very, very optimistic. And I love that, by the way. Mm-hmm. I'm going to put kind of a reality touch on it, though. I'm not sure Kobe Bryant is a league leader in steals, because I don't think he ever has been. He'll certainly give it a shot. As a matter of fact, he's probably got that on his goal sheet right now to be a league leader. So, as a matter of fact, he's never been Defensive Player of the Year. I'm sure that's on his list as well, because his icon Jordan was Defensive Player of the Year in 1988, along with leading the league in scoring. The only time in the NBA where someone led the league in scoring was Defensive Player of the Year in the same year. So I'm sure Kobe has that on his goal sheet. I don't know if it's going to happen, because after an Achilles injury, his lateral movements defensively might not be as effective. He might have to be a little more careful, more calculating on that, as opposed to being free and aggressive. So that could impact that particular prediction by you, Steph. But if he has a lateral movement and he makes that commitment, then it can definitely happen. I think he has a chance to be, you know, the top dog in scoring this year, particularly with Dwight Howard out of there. And Pau Gasol is not what we call a dominant scorer. He's a very effective scorer, but maybe not a dominant scorer. So I think he has a shot for that. I would love to see him go for Defensive Player of the Year. And, you know, because that's what the Lakers are going to need outside of health, is the ability to play defense, because we know they'll score. But I think Kobe will be better than what a lot of people expect, because he's just not cut from the same cloth as most of us or most other basketball players. So I think he's going to have a much better season than people expect, because all they're talking about is his age and coming off the Achilles injury. That's fine, but you also have to look at the player of that age and who's coming off an Achilles injury, and knowing that Kobe Bryant just isn't like most other people or most other basketball players. There is something that separates him from everybody else, and it's probably going to shine through this season, much to the shock of a lot of people who expect him to tail off considerably.
All righty. Well, we're winding down, you guys. Again, like I said, this show was an hour and a half long. We're going to go ahead and do a two-hour. We're going to begin to do a two-hour show as the season gets close. October 29th is our opening night. So, you know, with that being said, I want to give a quick shout-out to all the new members of Everything Lakers. I want to give a shout-out. Let me go back into – I had that page pulled up, but let me just give a shout-out to everyone who has joined my group, Everything Lakers. You can go to Facebook and join in if you like. Got 16 new members. We're 1,077 members strong. Shout-out to Los Loso John, Kobe Bryant, Salas Janier, Dion Vincent, Furlan Sanani, Amy Sika, welcome to Everything Lakers, Ashley Ann Kitana, Amber Blue, thank you for joining Everything Lakers, Patty M. Praxamy, No Amy, thank you for joining Everything Lakers, Sharif Amar Kareem, Corey Carr, Melanie Lakers Lover Sovereign, Kanira Lakerette Rodriguez, Alfonso Rogers, Mickey Matrice, Pauletta Coshell. Thank you guys for joining my group. I really love that and the support. Thank you guys for tuning in. Larry, thank you so much.
Yeah.
Again, like I said,
Stephanie and Steve as well.
Yeah, joining me and Steve every night, every Sunday night. You guys make sure if you tell your friends, they're Laker fans, non-Laker fans, they're welcome to call in. We love when anybody calls in and want to tune in and conversate with us. I know we'll get more people as the season gets closer. I want to thank everyone in the chat room, Valcine, Eugene Norris, Mike Madison. Thank you guys for tuning in tonight. I appreciate the support. We're going to go out on one of my favorite artists, and I hope very soon, Mark Knox, if you are listening, you know, you're one of my favorites. I hope that you are working hard on getting an album out real soon, because you're a very talented dude. So I'm going to go ahead and play Mark Knox. This is a song called I Want Your Love. It's written by Jay King. We'll see you next Sunday, 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 10 p.m. Eastern Time here on Everything Lakers. Thank you guys for tuning in, and we're out. Go Lakers.
I want your love. The first time I realized, when I looked in your eyes, you and I were made to love. Sanctioned from the Lord above. You should know just how I feel, baby. Look inside, 'cause my love is real. Up, you see, I want love. baby, just trust. You don't have to find me all the time. If you can get out your own way,